So, morning, everyone. And as Hannah said, welcome to His Youth. So last week we looked at, for those of you who were here last week, we looked at how do you become a disciple maker? And we looked at the very key points of telling your story. And basically when you engage somebody, you tell them your story and what Jesus did for you in your life. So we also looked at the acronym SALT and how to engage a friend. And stands for, number one, start a conversation. It's not about going straight into the story of telling somebody about Jesus, but it's about telling, just starting a conversation with somebody. Everyone does it. You go to your friends at school and you say, hey, how are you? What are you up to? Then you ask questions. You get to know the person. Then you listen to their story. You let them know that you care about them enough to not talk about you and all of your accomplishments, what's happening in your life, but you tell them what, you ask them what's happening in their life, and then you listen to what they have to say. And then what we spoke about last week is telling your story. And we see it's a before and after story of what Jesus did for you in your life. And ultimately that leads up to telling God's story and telling them what God did for you and what God is doing in your life. So there we go. Last week, tell your story, part one. And we saw, what is your story? And we said your testimony is the story of what Jesus did for you and how he changed your life. It's a verbal declaration of what you have seen, heard, and experienced. So it's something that personally happened to you in your life. And this week, we're going to be doing part two of that. So as I said before, last week we said, before you were a certain kind of person, before you met God, and then after you met Jesus, you are somebody else. You've been redeemed, you've been made new. And before I go into part two of this, telling your story, I just want to play a quick video for you guys. I've said this last week, and I've said this before already a few times, about before and after, our before and after story. And I just want to give you guys a few examples of that. So it's before and after. Before and after. Before and after. That one's before and after drugs. Before and after. And the last one is what you all looked like before you had coffee this morning. So that's before and after coffee. So there from last week, there it is. Before I met Jesus and then after I met Jesus. Now, because this is part two, we're going to shake things up a bit. And we're going to say when I met Jesus. And you see that every single testimony has three parts to it. Not just the before, not just the after, but the during and the when. It's that part that, hey, I was like this, and I didn't suddenly become something else, but there was a process that I went through that turned me into something new. And that's what the when I met Jesus is all about. So I want to go into one more before, after, and during. And that's the story of Paul. Everyone knows Paul in the Bible. He wrote most of the books in the New Testament, all the letters to the different churches. And he also went by another name before he met God, and that was Saul. And there's Paul before he met Jesus. So for those of you who don't know what's going on there, I just want to give you a bit of a background to what's happening right there. And we can read this in Acts 7. If you guys have your Bibles or your phones, if you want to read with me. Acts 7, verse 58. And it's basically talking about this disciple of Jesus called Stephen. And he was preaching God's word. And the people, some people didn't like what he was saying. And they took him outside the city to stone him. Basically, you throw rocks at a person until they die. So it's not a nice way to go. But they were stoning him. And from verse 58, it says, they dragged him out of the city, and witnesses laid their clothes at the feet of a young man named Saul. And while they were stoning him, Stephen prayed out, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. Then he fell on his knees and cried out, Lord, do not hold this sin against them. And as he had said this, he fell asleep. And Saul was there, giving approval to his death. So that doesn't look much like the Paul of the Bible that we know when we read the New Testament. This guy right here is a murderer. He's arrogant, he's proud, he's brash, he's young. Normally, if you think of priests and kind of holy men, religious leaders, you think of them as old guys with flowing gray and white beards in big robes, you know, walking slowly along. But here's Saul, a young man, and yet he's climbing the ranks. He's quickly becoming powerful and important in the religious circles in Jerusalem. And so we can see that he's very zealous. He's passionate about what he does. He thinks he's serving God. He thinks he's doing God's will by killing these people that call themselves Christians, that claim to know God. And he thinks he's doing the right thing. He thinks he's doing people a favor, and he thinks he's right with God. And there he is. You can see him standing there while the guys have put down their robes and they're busy stoning Stephen over there in the left-hand corner. And then something happens, because Paul meets Jesus. And I want to read in Acts, I think it's 1 verse 9, and it says, "But Saul, still breathing threats and murder," this is just after Stephen got stoned, "still breathing threats and murder against the disciples of the Lord, went to the high priest and asked him for letters to the synagogues at Damascus, so that if he found any belonging to the way was what the early Christians called themselves, men or women, he might bring them bound to Jerusalem. Now as he went on his way, he approached Damascus, and suddenly a light from heaven shone around him. And falling to the ground, he heard a voice saying to him, 'Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?' And he said, 'Who are you, Lord?' And he said, 'I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. But rise and enter the city, and you'll be told what you are to do.' The men who were traveling with him stood speechless, hearing the voice, but seeing no one. Saul rose from the ground, and although his eyes were opened, he saw nothing. So they led him by the hand and brought him into Damascus. And for 3 days, he was without sight, and he neither ate nor drank." So that's Saul's encounter with Jesus. And I think that's a pretty powerful encounter of what happened to him. So if we read later in one of Paul's letters in Corinthians, 2 Corinthians chapter 11, Paul's now a Christian. Okay, this is his after story now. And he's going around preaching the word of God, and he says, "I've been in prison more frequently, been flogged more severely, and have been exposed to death again and again. 5 times I received from the Jews 40 lashes minus one. 3 times I was beaten with rods. 1 I was stoned. 3 I was shipwrecked. I spent a night and a day in the open sea. I've been constantly on the move. I've been in danger from rivers, in danger from bandits, in danger from my own countrymen, in danger from the Gentiles, in danger in the city, in danger in the country, in danger at sea, and in danger from false brothers. I've labored and toiled and often gone without sleep. I've known hunger and thirst and have often gone without food. I've been cold and naked. Besides everything else, I face daily pressure of my concern for all the churches." So what we read about Stephen was the before part of Saul's story. Now, what I've just read in Corinthians is his after story. How Paul, the guy who was persecuting Christians and throwing them in prison, suddenly became the Christian who got thrown into prison. And that's crazy. How is this young, arrogant murderer suddenly gets turned into this humble guy that gets beaten and stoned and beaten again and thrown in prison time after time after time for the Jesus that he once tried to kill, that he once tried to go against? How did this happen? And I'm going to unpack that part where I read just earlier in Acts when Saul or Paul meets Jesus. And I'm going to go from verse 3 where it says, "Suddenly a light from heaven shone around him." And you see that when we don't really know God, we might think that we're doing the right thing. Just like Paul, he thought he was doing the right thing. He thought he was doing God's will. But suddenly, God says to us, "No, you know, you're actually in error here." And God shines his light into our lives. The light shone onto Paul, and it's like Paul suddenly sees God. Suddenly, God appears to him and shows him the truth of what is happening. And that's a pivotal part, that when we encounter Jesus, God's light shines into our lives and exposes the darkness within us. And then it says, "And falling to the ground, he heard a voice saying to him, 'Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?'" Now, why would Jesus say, "Why are you persecuting me?" Because Saul never even saw Jesus, or physically. I mean, Jesus had already been crucified and had gone back to heaven by the time Paul had this encounter. So how was Paul persecuting Jesus? Well, you see, it's in the very simple fact that whenever we sin If we sin against somebody, we don't just sin against them, but we sin against God too. You know, take for example, how many people have siblings here, a brother or a sister? Okay, so most of us have brothers and sisters. So you know what it's like when you get into a fight with your brother or sister, and you know, you maybe you fist fight, you like start punching them or slapping them, biting, you know, doing whatever, and or you could be arguing and you say, I hate you, you know, I don't ever want to see you again, you can just go die, stuff like that. I mean, I have a brother, James. He used to be here at His Youth, but he's gone down to Stellenbosch now. And I remember us fighting tons of times. And James would say, I hate you, like I wish I never had a brother, and all this stuff. And I'd get all angry, and I'd say, you know what, I don't want to see you again. And, you know, I'd hit him in the face, and he'd punch me back. And then when we came to the point of reconciling to each other and saying we're sorry, I wouldn't just have to say I'm sorry to James, but I'd have to apologize to God. Because you see, when I let sin get into my life and when I let my anger get the better of me or when I say things I shouldn't, I'm not just sinning against that person that I'm directing the words to or the actions, but I'm sinning against God. And it's something that we need to realize that we need to ask God for forgiveness as well. So Saul, why are you persecuting me? Saul needed to realize that it wasn't just wrong to kill people, but what he was doing was he was sinning against God. And then you see Saul's lying there on the ground, blinded by God's light. And God says, arise and enter the city. Because you see, even though before Jesus, we're all corrupted, we all have darkness within us because we haven't seen God's light yet. But once we fall on the ground and God's light shines into our lives, we need to realize that God doesn't want us to stay on the ground. God doesn't fling us onto the ground and says, stay there because you're a bad person. God says, now rise up and enter into the city. Rise up because I don't want you to stay on the ground being blind, because I have a purpose for you. I have so many things that I want you to do. So get up and come with me. So Saul rose from the ground, and although his eyes were open, he saw nothing. And then verse 9 says, for 3 days he was without sight, and he neither ate nor drank. So why would Saul go and neither eat nor drink for 3 days? So sometimes, I mean, I've read countless times in the Bible, many verses, and often I just skim over them. I don't know if you guys do this either. You read a verse, and you're like, okay, cool. You know, put down your Bible, go to something else, or go on to the next chapter. Okay, so Saul didn't eat or drink for 3 days. Cool. But if you think about it, 3 days without food or drink, 3 days doing nothing, just sitting there, why would Saul do this? It's because when you have an encounter with God, your whole mindset changes. Everything that you thought was right is wrong. And everything that you thought was wrong is right. You see, Saul thought that he was doing God's will. He thought that killing these Christians was a good thing. He thought that these Christians were bad people, that they were misled, when in fact he was misled. And he suddenly realizes everything that I've thought was wrong, everything that I've been taught is wrong. What am I to do? And he was devastated and he didn't know what to do with himself. And that's how it's like with us. When God encounters us, he shows us a whole new different mindset, a whole new way to think, to do things, a whole new set of belief systems and values. And then we see that it doesn't just stop there, because then you go on to the next chapter and we see what happens. We see Paul after he met Jesus. And you see there he says, I believe Jesus rose from the dead. I believe that he is a Savior sent from God. And when I read just now in Corinthians about him being beaten and him being tortured for the name of Jesus, that's the kind of radical change that happened in his life, the irrevocable change in Paul's life after he met Jesus, that he was forever changed, that he was willing to die for this Jesus that he once tried to kill or to go against. So, going to go on to the next thing now, how do you write your story? See that Paul had a testimony before, when he met God, and after he met God. And that's what you're going to do today. You're going to say, and you're going to write down, how did I encounter God? What brought me to the point of accepting Jesus as my Savior and what happened afterwards. So before we get into writing our story, I just want to give you a few guidelines. And one of them is, when you write your testimony, don't think that it has to be like Paul's. Don't think that you have to say, a light shone down from heaven and suddenly, you know, I was blind and then, you know, I accepted Jesus. Because if it didn't happen to you, you know, don't try fabricate it. Because last week I spoke about your testimony is powerful no matter how big or small you think it is. And that's the amazing thing about a testimony. It does not rely on us doing something. It's all about God entering into our lives. And when God does something, as I said last week, he doesn't do it in half measures. When God does something in your life, it is powerful. So don't think that you have to try imagine up some miraculous encounter with Jesus if it didn't really happen. If it did, that's awesome. Then write it down. But some people come to God through being broken. You know, you just, everything in your life is going wrong and you think, there's no way I can do this on my own anymore. I need Jesus. Some of you might have come to God through a friend who just loves you so much despite all your faults and everything that you've done, and they're just like, I love you, you know, you're my friend. And then you suddenly came to the realization that God loves me, and that's why I accepted Jesus. You know, maybe it's intellectual reasoning. Maybe you like to philosophize and think of ideas, and you suddenly came to the realization that, you know what, there has to be a creator behind this life. There has to be a purpose to this life. And maybe you found God through that. I don't know if you guys know C.S. Lewis, the guy who wrote the Narnia books, The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe. And when he accepted Jesus, before that, he was an atheist. And he was this great debater and thinker. And he suddenly came to the realization that there has to be a God. And he found God through logical reasoning and thinking. And he even says that he must have been the most miserable convert in all of England. Because he came to the realization that, man, everything that I've thought is wrong. And I need to accept Jesus, you know, whether I like it or not, but Jesus is real. So, guidelines for writing your story. Also, keep it short. It's not about since the time you're born till now. It's the key moments that before, during, and after. And so, it's key parts to keep it more or less 100 words or so. A short, powerful testimony of what God did. Then keep it simple, not religious. Don't use weird Christianese words like doest and thou and, you know, and then the Lord saith to me or anything like that. Because the whole point of writing your testimony today is to go out and share it with somebody. And if you share it to your friend, they'll be and you use weird Christian words, and they might be like, whoa, you know, this is a bit too freaky for me. So keep it real. Keep it simple. Keep it clear. Have one theme. You know, don't go onto all these little sidetracks about, you know, and then when I gave my heart to Jesus, my mom was baking apple pie that night and, you know, it tasted really good. But so keep it simple, keep it clear, stick to the point, and be humble. Because, like I said just now, it's not about you, it's about what God did for you. So if I could ask some people to come up and help hand these out. Thanks, Hannah. So, those are just some guidelines. Before I met Jesus, what were you struggling with? When I met Jesus, what made you turn to him? And after I met Jesus, what has changed since then? And there's basically the sheet that you're going to get to write out your story. So I'll give you guys some time and just to reflect and to write that down. I just want to give you guys a few pointers when you're writing your thing. One of them is, don't feel like you have to say, after I met Jesus, my life was perfect. If you're kind of thinking, well, you know, I have met Jesus and I'm in a relationship with him, but I still have quite a few things in my life that aren't quite right. So don't try to change your testimony to make yourself sound perfect or sound better, because the fact is that we all still sin. And we all still make mistakes, but keep in mind that you are a work in progress, that you may still have faults, but you can say, but God is teaching me, you know, to improve, or God is teaching me to walk with him and to turn away from those things. You know, you could say, maybe I used to do this a lot, but I'm doing it less, and I know God is going to help me not to do it at all. So don't feel like you have to sound a perfect Christian at the end of after I met Jesus, but be real and say, this is what I have or am struggling with, but this is what God is doing to help me get through it. Yeah. And then just as you write your story, evaluate it. Is it honest? Does it honor God? Does it respect people? Is it consistent with the Bible and what God's word says? Is it about my journey? Remember, you're keeping it focused. This is my journey that I went on. So it's not your whole life story, but it's a specific journey of your spiritual life. Are there concrete examples? Put in like actual things that happened. Like Paul, he actually had an encounter. He was blinded. This is what happened. He got healed. So make sure you put in details to make it personal. And then can you tell it with the conviction? If it's something that happened to you, if it's your testimony of how God changed your life, it should be something that you're passionate about, that really touches your heart and gets you excited. So you can keep on writing and just bear those things in mind. Okay, cool. What I'm going to ask you guys to do now is find a partner and practice telling your story. If you're going to go out here and tell your testimony to other people, you got to be comfortable with talking about it. So find the person next to you, get into pairs, and just spend a few minutes telling each other your testimony. Awesome. Has everyone shared? You guys need a few more minutes, or are people good? What I'm going to ask now is, are any of the guys feeling brave today? Any guys who thinks they're a man? Anybody? I'd like you to just come up here. Anybody? Who's feeling manly today? Yeah, the girls will come next, but for now I want a guy. Somebody's come up. Do I have any brave volunteers? This is the Hunger Games. Do you volunteer? Guys? Nobody? Yes. Come on up. Guys, give him a round of applause, please. Because he's going to share his testimony with us now. So thanks for volunteering.
Volunteering. Okay, well, my story, well, I grew up in a Christian home. We went to Christian school. And so I accepted Jesus at a very young age. So it wasn't really like much of a going blind type of thing, but I accepted him then. But I didn't really know what it meant to be a Christian. I just knew that everyone in my family said I should do it, or my friends, teachers, the pastors. So I did that. But then our youth, we went on an encounter camp in 2011. Yeah, and that's when I think I really met God. And he really showed me the things that I really needed to let go and what I really needed to do in order to grow our relationship. And from there, I knew that I needed to start living for God properly, not just I'm a Christian and not doing anything about it, but actually living for him. And I started living for him properly, and I still have problems with sin like everybody does, but I know that God is walking with me, so I'm good. Yeah.
Thank you. Can I get a girl now? Anybody feels okay? Hannah, and then we come up Alexia afterwards. Awesome.
All right. So drama. I'm a very insecure person, right? And my whole life, I've struggled with acceptance. I want to be accepted. And so then, I mean, like, people, I used to care about what people said. It was always about them. And it was like, okay, I know God loves me and all, but what do you say, basically? And then I also grew up in a Christian household, so I knew about God at a young age. But when I really started to consider who he was when my mother told me the story about when I was born. My mother had bad clotting problems when she was pregnant with me. The doctor said, you can't have this child, you have to have an abortion. And my mom said, I'll die before I have an abortion with this child. So I actually realized when she told me the story that it was through God's mercy and her love that I'm actually alive today. And it was then that I actually realized that I need God, that He plays a huge role in my life, and that I've just got to trust in Him only, not care about what other people say, because at the end of the day, it's about Him. He accepts me. It doesn't matter what anybody else thinks. So that's one thing I'm working on, is just trusting in God always and just saying, you know what, you're here for me and I know it. So, yeah.
Alex, you want to come?
Morning. Hello. Okay. I tend to talk a lot, so sorry, just bear with me. Okay. Like, pretty much where I started out is pretty much like the same as everybody else, given the fact that I was also born into a Christian household, so I also accepted Jesus at a young age. But, like, come around grade 7 or so, like, I was really struggling with friends, and in fact, I actually have throughout my entire life in South Africa, but I was, like, really struggling with friends. Like, I believed I was liked by nobody because I was, like, in a new school. But then after this one specific incident that I'm not going to go into detail with because it's just borderline, I, like, actually did believe that nobody liked me because I actually got into trouble. In fact, the teacher was shouting at me in front of the entire class, and I was so humiliated because I felt everybody was against me and everybody was staring and stuff like that. So, yeah, I was, like, pretty much on the verge of suicide. I actually spent 2 days in my room. And so, like, later that same day, I came to Josie Lights, and I basically confessed what I had done to God, and then I knew I was forgiven. But then come around high school or so, like, I still, like, had problems with friends because me and the person I was fighting with, we went to the same high school. So, yeah, I had trouble dealing with rejection, if I even was rejected to start with, and I had trouble accepting people into my life. So, yeah, I didn't really trust people that much. And I actually faced rejection in grade 9 and 10, and I got through it with God. But then come around the end of grade 10, I, like, prayed for this year to be, like, nice, that I would have good friends that I could trust, that I could be, well, that I would be liked by somebody, okay? Because I'm in grade 11 now, okay? But then now, okay, I'm in grade 11. As well as having good friends that I could lean on, and they're actually nice to me, and I'm nice to them, and I can laugh with them. I also learned, like, in the midst of not finding people at break in grade 9 and 10, I also learned to be alone, and I learned to be independent, and even if I'm alone, I still have God. So, yeah.
Awesome. Last testimony.
Before I met Jesus, I used to fight with my friends a lot, and I used to think that I was better than everyone. But after I met Jesus, I realized that life is not about me. And I got detention for fighting with my friends and lying, and most people didn't expect to get that from me. And I changed my life. And after I met Jesus, I used to communicate with people, and I realized that I'm loving and caring. And also with accepting Jesus, that happened in grade 6, I completely changed. I loved everyone around me. And also, I do lose my temper at times and say things I'm not supposed to, but God helped me get through it.
So from everyone's stories, we can even see that we are a work in progress. And that's what I wrote on my testimony. I said, I am a work in progress, but through Jesus Christ, I'm made perfect. So bear that in mind. Through our lives, we are still going to make mistakes. But as we seek Jesus, we have perfection in Him. So let's pray. Lord God, I just want to thank You that we can come here today, Lord God, to learn about You and to learn about sharing our testimonies with other people, Lord God. Thank You that our testimonies are powerful, Lord Jesus, and that You can use us and everything that we've gone through to draw people unto You. Help us to be bold in sharing our testimony with people this week, Lord God, and may You live through us, Lord Jesus, and may we find ourselves in You. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. So that is the challenge. Share your story with at least one person this week. Share it with a friend, start a conversation, listen to their story, and then share your story. Then next week, we've got a split Sunday coming up. So that's girls in this room, guys in the conference, the other room. And we're going to be doing some deep issues and some heartfelt stuff. So don't miss out on that. And we'll have Pastor Lisa and Pastor Jonathan Potty. They're going to be preaching. So have a great week, and we'll see you guys on Friday. Yes.